Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Ron Edwards. This is the Ron and Don program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. A very sobering time in the United States. Much sorrow, if you will. But at the same time, there are many who are saying to a man that served his country with great valor, great courage, great honesty and integrity. Yes, tonight we're talking about John McCain. We've got a full program tonight. Our associate, Mr. Allen, will not be with us. He is in the midst of preparing his texts and teaching and et cetera as school has started here in the Twin Cities. But John McCain, a great American, a man that will be sorely missed, a man who had such a precise and concise understanding of his life that within 24 hours of indicating to his family and friends and loved ones that he no longer wanted any kind of treatment and et cetera to prolong what was the inevitable, if you will, he passed from this life. As we speak, lays in state in the Capitol Rotunda in Arizona, Phoenix, if you will. We, as millions of others, actually across the world, let's be very candid, are watching the events here in the United States. President Bush II and Barack Obama will say the appropriate words at his memorial service in Washington. The body will be moved from Arizona apparently later on tomorrow and will lay in state in the rotunda of the Capitol, if you will. And it is our expectation that many, many, many Americans will pay their respect to this great American. It was not really relevant or important what party he belonged to or even what race he was. He was a proven warrior. He was a proven person of significant integrity. I saw it on a personal note in 2008 when in the midst of a fairly heated and charged campaign that he, I thought, set the tone for the character of the election of 2008 in which he was defeated, he being John McCain, was defeated by Barack Obama, who became the first African-American in the history of the Republic to ascend to the presidency, the 44th presidency of the United States of America. John McCain could have changed the course of many things in that election of 2008 if he would have chose, but that was not his character. He was a man of great quality, as we said just seconds ago, of great integrity, and et cetera, a man who wore proudly the bars, the stars, and the stripes of the United States military, in his case, the United States Navy, if you will. In fact, my associate, Mr. Allen, a veteran, he was talking earlier today of the mindset of veterans that he has talked to around the country who are feeling, quote unquote, that a great American has passed from the national scene. And that clearly is not good in some regards because we need individuals of that power. On my television and radio broadcast yesterday here from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, we spoke in those terms on our podcast and our television program, which airs on Sundays here in the Twin Cities. Our podcast is live from studios of the Minneapolis Television Network, MTN. Some have asked me today and yesterday, was in fact John McCain a man that could have made a difference as it pertains to the direction of this country, if not struck down by illness and ultimately that fatal part, death, if you will. And I just think that John McCain was the kind of American that America needs. He came out of the same class and walked the same hallways and paths of Americans who have shown greatness irrespective of race, creed, color, or national origin, if you will. He is a man that will be remembered for his commitment to the United States of America, to not only the citizens of the United States, but others throughout the world. His ability, after being a prisoner of war for 5.5 years in Vietnam, North Vietnam, the Hanoi Hilton, the concentration prisoner of war camp was identified at and oftentimes spoke, but the power of John McCain to be forgiving, to respond in a manner that reflected the character and the quality that he had been blessed with long before he attended the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. A man who, and this is just amazing, and friends and et cetera, and the number of veterans that I talked to, and in talking to my colleague, Mr. Allen, a member of the United States Army, a veteran of the United States Army, is that John McCain made it understood that hatred, the art of retaliation, if you will, and criticism, and et cetera, of an enemy who is not always, nor will always be seen as the enemy, and that point has in many respects been shown. What was it, 2015, John McCain and others of the United States Senate went back to Hanoi, met leadership and et cetera. Many Vietnamese scholars, many Asian scholars have talked in terms of how magnanimous John McCain was in those days and later those years. I'm talking about the importance of world peace, of tolerance, of respect, if you will. It was sad that in the last couple of years he was not respected by a man who did not know, nor has he ever known, nor will he ever know, the importance of serving his nation militarily, if you will. A man who made statements about John McCain that served no purpose binding, bringing a nation and its people together. John McCain was a bigger-than-life individual in the manner that he went about his business, the things that he did, how he did them, what he said, and et cetera. Yet he was a tough man. As we said just minutes ago, a graduate of the Naval Academy, if you will, a fighter pilot during the Vietnam conflict, if you will, shot down over Hanoi, prisoner of war for 5.5 years, tortured, bayoneted, if you will, suffering injuries that he carried with him for the remainder of his life up until the very final moment. And so we would be remiss tonight on this program if we did not speak with the degree of reverence, if you will, and yet an appreciation of an American who showed how it could be done, how one could go about the business of healing, if you will, go about the business of championing the rights of all individuals, if you will, and not pick fights, not create confrontations to further some mean spirit, if you will. That was not his spiritual and body politics. His grandfather and his father, think about this, my friends, particularly those of you who are of the military on this program tonight, coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. This man's grandfather and father, four-star admirals, if you will. If you want to talk in terms of a tradition, but at the same time paying his respect and offering all that he could for his nation, John McCain did that. He lived that dream. He joins other Americans, too many who have been lost, if you will, in combat before their time in life. Those who lay in the cemeteries, the military cemeteries across this country, be it Fort Snelling or be it Arlington National Memorial. John McCain was a man who walked with dignity, but who walked with a level of comfort. He was a man that did not doubt his ability. He was not arrogant and et cetera, if you will. He was tough. He was politically tough. He was militarily tough. But he was religiously tough with regards to what he felt for humanity. And man, I got to tell you, that is so important. In a place called planet Earth, where one begins to wonder if things are beginning to slip away from us and if there is, in fact, to us, as the inhabitants, as the occupants, along with many others, species and et cetera, on this planet. We have always been told, we heard it from our grandfathers, grandmother, mothers, fathers, and et cetera, that always remember, they used to say, Ronald, always remember, if there's nothing else that you remember in life, if there's nothing else that you embrace to give you some sense of guidance, sense of respect, if you will, and humbleness, yes, we need to be humble. It is the doctrine that we only pass this way once. We may want to believe that we return, but there are no indications that that is something that has been ordained. Only once do you come this way, and that is the opportunity to establish your legacy. No matter how public or private that legacy may be, it is that one occasion in which the Almighty, the Supreme Being, allows you to display to the masses, to the base, that you have truly embraced, you recognize, and you have carried out that which has been the positive ordainment for how you will be remembered. John McCain, a true American, a man who believes so strongly in the importance of man's respect for man. And when we say that, we are talking about both men and women. As John McCain's spirit soars into the heavens, we think that there will be many who will clearly remember that he was a true American. And yet, as it pertains to his legacy, his children, his friends, his loved ones are blessed that he came this way just once and he carried out the task that was expected of him, the mantle of leadership. And he carried it, and he used it with the appropriate measure that made the Almighty indicate that you, John McCain, have stood your post, have served with integrity, you have served your mission. May you forever be remembered as not only a great American, but a great human being. John McCain of Arizona, military man, politician, senator, campaigned for president of the United States, and a man who, in the Congress of the United States at a critical Pacific hour, just a short number of months ago, displayed that which guided him, have made him the American that he is, and that his memory will always be. There are far too many who will not enjoy that reputation of life. History will not remember them fondly. In some cases, history will not remember you at all. You have passed this way. You have left nothing that is tangible. People do not speak your name or sing songs of those things that you have done. When your name is spoke, people seem to frown because you have passed this way and you have not completed your task. Cannot be said, in closing, of John McCain. We repeat again on this program, a program coming to you from the Twin Cities in Minneapolis and St. Paul, a program in which two African Americans, one Republican and one Democrat, host, but who both agree that when one has acquired prerequisite and the demand of that which was assigned to them, man or woman, black, white, red, green, whatever color, my friends, that they have done what their mission was. That's powerful. That's extremely powerful. There are not enough of us that enjoy that legacy and that which will be an imprint in life and in history for the remainder of time. Well, other things go on in our beloved nation. By the way, I had said to my associate that we were discussing tonight's program, and he was indicating that being Mr. Allen, that he was hoping that we certainly would touch on John McCain. We have to deal with that which is tearing this country apart. The statements that have come out of Florida after the primary election there last night, and the references, once again, to the fact that we are primates, if you will, they're monkeys, apes, gorillas, and et cetera, show its dirty face, its dirty hands, its dirty purposes. An African-American, the mayor of Tallahassee, Florida, man who surprised the establishment, if you will, of the Democratic Party, he sure surprised the Republicans, if you will, not only in Florida, but across the nation. We wish him the very best as he moves towards the final battle with his Republican, who really, using his dog whistle, referred to this man as a monkey. Oh, he crafted it with the dog whistle and etc. But those of us who are the sons and daughters of the African, we know what he is saying. We know what this man wanted to do. He wanted to send the signal, quote unquote, to his kind in Florida and any place else that you can find him, that the dark shadow, quote unquote, of the former slaves is sweeping into our institutions and down the corridors of our expectations. Talk about monkey business. It's no different than the kind of slanderous statements that were made with regards to the man that just a year and a half ago finished two terms as president of these United States, Barack Obama, his beautiful wife, and his lovely children. See how quickly and how easily we forget, my friends, those insults, those challenges, those references of disrespect and etc. Because Barack Obama and his wife specifically, and then later his children, were referred to as primates. They were referred to as monkeys, apes, gorillas, etc., etc., and etc., if you will, irrespective of what you may have thought of the woman that worked in the Trump White House. She had not, quote-unquote, conducted herself in any kind of way to have been called a lowlife, if you will, or a dog, and et cetera. And so last night in the state of Florida, as two candidates were thanking the voters of that state and preparing to move towards the ultimate goal to become governor of the state of Florida, one, an African-American, has the opportunity to become only the second black person since the Emancipation Proclamation, and ever, for that matter, to become the governor of a southern state. Not since Mr. Wilder, Governor Wilder of Virginia, over 20 years ago, have we seen close as we are watching now. We wish him the best in Florida. We wish his supporters, and we hope that the voters of the state of Florida reject the kind of mean-spirited conduct, delivery of dog whistles and messages. It is somewhat interesting, though the results were not known. The president was a full 24 hours in front of the results. But it was interesting, and on Monday, this president, the man who is supposed to be, by virtue of the office of presidency, the United States, is supposed to be the good shepherd, supposed to be the man that holds a nation together and its people together. And yet the president sounded a rather dangerous message on Monday, about 20-some hours before the election, the primary elections in the state of Florida, when he said that if we don't get our way, I mean, this is really what he was saying. I mean, the media has to play their game. We don't here on this program, the Don and Ron program, coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. We don't have to play the game of BS, if you will. And so what this president has said is that he is in the tradition of his statements following the tragedy of Charlottesville, West Charlottesville, Virginia, if you will, and other incidents that took place during that particular period of time, statements that were made, life that was lost, others beaten, injured, and et cetera. And yet the president said, if you dare, and we say it for a third time, as if it's strike three, if you dare tamper with, quote-unquote, the mission of a man. And sometimes I begin to wonder if really we had not seen the arrival of the Antichrist in the form of Donald Trump. But it was interesting that in all of his anger and frustration and his continued losing touch with the values that so many Americans hold in regards to a multiplicity of things, that this man said that if we don't get our way, there will be violence in America. Now, I can remember many years ago, Carmichael and Rap Brown and others made statements similar to that in the 1960s as a part of Black Power and a separate. People have their own opinions, and they are entitled to them. That's what we fight about in defense of the nation, in defense of the realm. But I can well remember, as folks said, that that is unacceptable. That's not allowed. How dare you? How dare you, Negroes, suggest, quote unquote, that there will possibly be violence? Of course, it was the beloved and very knowledgeable and very deep individual, Malcolm X, who talked in terms of who it was that had brought that kind of order, quote unquote, into the American mainstream. Those statements about violence and et cetera. In fact, for many, many, many decades, the sons and daughters of the African lived and suffered through that doctrine. If you, quote unquote, upset us, if you step the wrong way, if you defy us, if you are not obedient, and et cetera, as the sons and daughters of the African, as the slaves, and even at the Emancipation Proclamation, we allowed you, they allowed you some small semblance, and then took it back, really, by 1900, 1901, 1902. By 1911, 1912, we saw the full flavor of the response and the racism and the hatred. It swept across basically every state in the Union, including Minnesota. I refer y'all once again to a place called Duluth in 1920, June 1920. But the statement was made that if you people, the sons and daughters of the Africans, step the wrong way, the violence will be that which will be rendered upon you, and etc. So, in the 1960s, irrespective of what people may have thought about Stokely Carmichael and Rap Brown and others, we, young African Americans, indicated that what was good for the goose was good for the gander, if you will, and we just thought that this was a American norm. That if one was not received properly as one made its political and spiritual argument to enjoy all the vestiges of what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights said, that there are dangerous alternatives. And yet I have not heard that kind of spiritual and historical depth in the last 14, 18 to 20 hours. Maybe people are trying to get their thoughts together, if you will. We don't have that problem here. Our mind is quick. Our understanding of history is forever present, if you will. And so we say that tonight on this program, and we are blessed in many regards to be able to say that, because so many doors of opportunity are once again being closed on the sons and daughters of the African. We should and we must be concerned with regards to those statements, those reflections that are being made, those quiet determinations and decisions that are happening, be it the United States Supreme Court, with decisions that have come down just in the last number of months. We're not paying attention, my friend, as we oftentimes have said on these programs. We are not paying attention to the dangers that are around us. Donald Trump sounded a warning. One needs to take heed. One needs to understand the mindset of this nation. That is the reason that we felt it so important to provide an overview narrative, a memorial to a man like John McCain of Arizona. Some of us that are a part of the generation that lost people in that order. Malcolm, Nagger, Martin Luther King Jr., and many others, through the violence of an America that still has not accepted the right of the sons and daughters of the African to ascend to their rightful place, our rightful place at the table of opportunity in the quest for justice and fairness and etc. It is important that we stay keyed in all those things that go on around us. Failure to do so could very well guarantee the initiation of genocide and the disappearance of the sons and daughters of the African in significant numbers, in frightening numbers, etc. You know, to those of our listening audience that are part of the soul and the heart of the African American movement, you are to be commended also tonight for your strength, for your sense of not only survival, but understanding the purpose of survival. You do not attempt to exist just because somebody told you. It is a part of your being. It makes you the sons and daughters of the African, if you will. The Native American, the African American, and others of color have a certain quality within their soul, within their being, that allows us to be able to survive and to continue to, in some regard. A man like John McCain, a Caucasian, with maybe some of the blood of the color, was able to survive 5.5 years in a prisoner of war camp, treated in the most horrible manner, suffering some of the most serious abuses, painful, and etc. And yet John McCain showed a spirit and a sense of purpose and a commitment to not only survive but to do battle and try to change the world that he lived in and that he departed from this world and this life just a couple of days ago. We've always said, as a historian, that it is important that we remind ourselves, there's nothing selfish about it, my friends, that we remind ourselves of the importance of understanding the importance of completing our mission, of remembering the precious, precious soul of our ancestors who came long before us, who fought the battle, some who died at sea, but still thinking of the importance of life and the future. That, tonight, is what we should always keep in front of us. As this country is going through a difficult period, my friends, I don't know what it is specifically that is needed to help us understand, but the one thing that is important that we try and do is to maintain the course, continue to find the road, continue to walk in the valley spoken of, and what has been bestowed upon us, the sons and daughters of the African, joining our red and yellow brothers and sisters, that we have earned the right to be respected. We have earned the right to have expectations of safety and promises of a future to our children and to those who are coming behind us. We have earned that right, my friends. just as we know that someone in the next couple of days at the memorial services for John McCain will speak of how well he earned that which was bestowed upon him. And yet I'd like to think that that's a part of what John McCain was saying in his last memoirs and in his final letter to the American people. He was a man of vision. Yes, my friends, he was like Martin. He was like Mary McLeod Bethune. He was like Malcolm X. He was like Medgar Evers, if you will. He was like Millstone Johnson, Cecil Newman, and etc. And yet he is like those that still are here with us, who lend us the experience of life, who have fought the battles, and one of the ones, the beloved Kelsey Johnson. The situation that happened to her a couple of weeks ago should have never happened to a great black woman. Never. But yet we, as quickly as we heard about it, we just as quickly seem to forget about it. Say, let's just move on and do our thing. No. That doesn't get it done, my friends. Those that long came before us have fought too hard and did fight too hard to make sure that we had some kind of path. You know, we unfortunately live in a society and in a nation which has spent too much time trying to think of ways which they, some of them, think are creative in making us disappear, shrinking our numbers and etc. There's a book that I always recommend to many who I know to be serious. People that I know are not serious, I don't waste my time. It's called Medical Apartheid. It's one of many great books that have been written and that discuss, quote-unquote, the importance, the relevance, if you will, the mission of the sons and daughters of the African. The mission of our red brothers and sisters who are the original Americans, if you will. We think about that. And we give all respect and deference to our Asian brothers and sisters, and God knows, to our African brothers and sisters in, quote-unquote, the great continent of Africa. But we have got to be, we, black Americans, have got to be a little bit more serious, a little bit more alert, a little bit more on schedule with regards to our future in this country and on the face of this earth. Playtime has been over for a long time. In fact, there's never been an opportunity for playtime, not only for our red brothers, but for the sons and daughters of the Africans. See, the Native Americans well understand, as we move around tonight, what it is that generates the conditions that leads to the ultimate and fatal determination, genocide. We think it is so important that we continue to work closely together, hand in hand, with those that wish to join us in the great trek to guarantee survival. Dangerous of conditions. Yes. See, all of this has been brought forward once again by a great American, John McCain. But we have had these discussions before, my friend. For those that had not yet been created and were here and aboard in the 1940s and 50s, if you will, they must be respected for understanding and attempting to leave us with the path because those that came in the 1800s, if you will, or the 1700s, and the 1600s as it pertains to this country, carried on with success, because it had to be success. If it had not been successful, that which had been put in place, we the sons and daughters of the African would not be here. There wouldn't be a radio program tonight. There would be none of us if those that came before us many, many, many generations ago. Consequently, we cannot lose focus. We cannot lose, quote-unquote, the creativity that is important to guarantee life and longevity. Martin Luther King Jr. said it the night before his death in Memphis, Tennessee, when he talked in terms, once again, as he had done earlier, the importance of mountaintops, the importance of the visions that he sees. I'm always worried when I hear people say that they don't have visions, if you will, that it's not something that they think about and is relevant. A vision and visions are extremely important if one wants to talk in terms of being a material fact to continue to live, to continue to grow, continue to be a part of that which, quote unquote, is the base of Black America. Other groups do it, be they Asian, the Native Americans, or et cetera, as they're referred to. They do it. Many have done it with great success. We have done it under the worst possible conditions, brought here in bondage, losing millions and millions and millions of us before we completed the Great Passage, losing millions and millions and millions more before the shackles of slavery were thrown off, be substituted or to be replaced with that which is called segregation. Is what we were saying and hinting at just minutes ago, the importance of strength. Nothing wrong with being proud and being Black. And used to say it, I'm Black and I'm proud. We oftentimes played that particular song at the conclusion of this, of these programs. We don't play it because we believe it's the end of time for us. We play it to remind us that there are those who are visionaries. There are those who speak and speak with great volume about the right of the future of the sons and daughters of the African. Keep that in mind, my friends. We move into the last 15 minutes or so of tonight's program. There are troubling signs that we are not as concentrated in our vision and in our thinking, and probably most important in our preparation. See, people who want to survive, want to grow, I'm not talking about tap dancing and bucking and winging for the man. No, no, no. I'm talking about doing that which gives you equal footing. That's why. That's what equality is really all about. Equal place in the back of the room, but a place at the table of planning, of determining what one's history will be like. There's nothing wrong with having those kinds of expectations and dreams, my friend, the sons and daughters of the African. Some way or another, there's a feeling amongst the elders that is beginning to slip away from us. and we are not in a position, particularly with the current cast of individuals who are running and managing, quote-unquote, our future. As we said a couple of minutes ago, some of these folks have done a lot of things to us. They've enslaved us, segregated us, they've abused us, they have done things, including infecting us with diseases and et cetera. They've poisoned us, Flint, Michigan, and other places. They have put us in the way of chemical genocide, if you will, always making sure that we downwind from the chemical plant. For those of you that come out of places like Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama, you know what we're talking about. We don't even have the time tonight to go into the depth, if you will, but we need to. We need to look closely at that which is around us. We need to look closely at that which we are being denied, which we are not being allowed to access with a level of equality. But then we are not alone in this regard, because there are many white human beings that need to be concerned with what is happening with those things that we used to assume were a given. Be they medicine, be they research, to deal with, quote-unquote, the problems that shorten, quote-unquote, our life and our opportunities, if you will. Again, read the book, Medical Apartheid, and read some of the other publications. You can research some of the great literary minds in medicine, science, and et cetera. Let me give you a quick example as we move into the last minute of tonight's program. We don't even hear people talk about Tuskegee and the experimental medicine that went on. We barely can get people to still talk about Flint, Michigan, if you will. And no one talks about the numerous battles that the sons and daughters of the African have carried out 30 years. With regards to pollution and et cetera. We have a right to breathe clean air, fresh air, air that gives us longevity, if you will, that you're able to live beyond 40, 50, 55 years of age. All of that is important. In closing, on that particular note, last week we talked in terms of the powerful Minneapolis Police Federation, if you will, and statements that were made by its leadership that the African-American running for Attorney General here in the state of Minnesota is a criminal, has been involved in criminal activities and et cetera, and will be confronted with these criminal acts. We raised the question last week to our listening audience. How say you, Congressman? How say you on these statements? And we repeat again where they took place so that folks need not think that bar, if you will, with three or four characters standing around. No. It was made in the presence of law enforcement officers, predominantly white, getting ready to become supervisors on the streets of our city, sergeants, if you will. Statement was clear and concise. We had thought maybe we would be confronted as a journalist to clarify, codify, to justify. Easy of us to report that. We didn't make the statement. The powerful president of the Police Federation made the statement. And he is getting his information from some of you in the white fourth state. Oh, you didn't think we were going to go there, did you? You see, it's quite clear that there is a move afoot to destroy Congressman Keith Ellison as he moves towards another political career, that is Attorney General of the state of Minnesota. So I'm not sure that that was the right move if he wanted to deal with the antics, if you will, of Donald Trump. But that was his call, his decision. But there are powerful forces aligned against the congressman and against his supporters, and I'm kind of concerned that we're not hearing from that base of the congressman that should be at play, that should be saying and responding. Oh, I know the strategy that some of you use amongst yourselves. Oh, man, we're not going to. You know, we're not going to give any value to that man. Anybody, you know, that's talking that old crazy talk. And again, we're not the ones that made the statement. We merely, as a good journalist, talked to terms that the statements were being made, that the plan is afoot. In fact, there's now rumors that this thing has gone so deep as it pertains to the attacks on Congressman Keith Ellison, that there are discussions with regards to a meeting that took place in a hotel room, 4-star, 5-star hotel in New York City, in preparation for the Iranian nuclear deal, if you will. Oh, yes, many of you don't know about that. But I'll tell you what happened as we move to the last minutes of tonight's program. Minneapolis Star Tribune did something interesting. About 7-8 months ago, they repeated a article in the New York Times about that meeting back in 2015, 2016. Folks know. And now you're hearing names that are very interesting. Assad, the Israeli super CIA, quote-unquote, counterpart, if you will, Britain's MI5 and MI6. We're hearing now people reaching out to talk to individuals that also knew the congressman. People pretending that they can't find her, if you will. People know where she is. The State Department knows where she's at. You know, people know where she's relocated. I'm not understanding what folks are saying when they talk in terms of a covert operation that it was exposed after the meeting in that hotel room in New York City, as the United States was prepared to put forward the final plans of an agreement with the Iranians, if you will. It's interesting because it is so volatile. It is so dangerous what is at play here, if you will. People talk in terms of who controls who. Who were the proxies, if you will. How much money was moved around. I've even heard statements being made about a certain significant level of dollars that went through an entity called Environmental Justice. I'm like, well, no. We're talking about, you know, environmental justice, better conditions for the residents of the poor areas of Minneapolis and Greater St. Paul. Environmental justice for those of you that used to attend those meetings at the Minneapolis Urban League. Now, there's a whole lot more at foot or at play than folks want to admit. And Robert Crowe, the powerful, powerful president of the Minneapolis Police Federation and some of his, quote-unquote, friends and associates, may know what they're talking about, that there are circumstances and situations which are being driven because of criminal conduct, and et cetera. And so we have asked the question, and we'll continue to ask the question in the coming weeks, well, what is it that has taken place, what is known. Step forward. Right-wingers, Republicans, and others, even Democrats, if you will. There was a reason for those 70 votes up there in Cambridge not to give the congressman the endorsement, if you will. What is it that people know? Why is there so much whispering going on in our beloved state of Minnesota? What is it that is happening that are making these things create an atmosphere of uncertainty, discomfort to so many who say they are loyal to the standard bearer of the Democratic Party for the office of Attorney General of the state of Minnesota? What is really going on, if you will? How long have folks known that there were international implications, that people were being watched? Why the silence from the Black Congressional Caucus, which we would have thought would have stayed the course in support of their fellow congressmen? We'll talk a little bit more about it next week, both on this program and on our television program emanating here from the Twin Cities. In closing, Black America, Black Minnesotans, stay strong, stay vigilant. Don't make the mistake of getting bogged down in the quagmire of fakeism. Stay strong. God bless you, Black America, Black Minnesota, and those such as John McCain who did the right thing in life. I'm Ron Edwards. On behalf of my associate, Mr. Don Allen, we'll be back with you next week.